Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. We try not to have too much fun around here. We usually try to save up the fun and just have the fun on Fridays, but it's awful hard for me anyways to not have fun when Dr. Ray Guarendi's around, and we're very happy to welcome Dr. Ray Guarendi, who you hear each day, very likely on the radio station you're listening to now, all across the EWTN radio network. And he's got a new book out called Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. Dr. Ray Guarendi, thank you for being with us.
Cy, I'm getting a little tired.
I know what you're tired of.
Having to write new books just to get to be on your show.
Do you know
it's getting old.
We actually discussed this here today. And I said to Darren, did he have to write another book to get in on this show? And Darren said he was thinking, I got to schedule Dr. Ray. He went to schedule you, and there was a new book out. So I think that the cause and the effect are reversed here. I think that, or the chicken and the egg are reversed. I don't know exactly what's reversed. So I think we were coming looking for you and then found out that there was a new book out this time.
I'm a little tired of having to grovel.
That's not what is happening here. By the way, congratulations on the new book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration.
Did you see the cover? You're the spiritual before picture. Did you see that?
I am on not. The book. That's not true. That is not true. Yeah, I don't know. I hope I'm the before picture. I I want to be the after picture. What am I saying? Yeah, I want to be the guy who is living calm.
Are you?
Yeah, I think I am. I think I'm getting there. I think, it's a lot of...
Well, you're old enough.
I know, but a lot of people in your profession have made a lot of money getting me here, but I do feel like I am not... at the beginning of the book, you use all these terms that the psychologists like to... I'm having anger management problems or something, and I'm not having that at the moment, no.
You notice the language, how it evolves?
Yeah.
It's like a chameleon. It changes colors. We don't have a temper anymore. We have anger management issues.
Right.
We have emotional dysregulation. It all sounds so psychological, doesn't it? And it makes it sound like I'm afflicted with some kind of thing that takes over my body, mind, and soul, and I have to act that way.
Right. I was very struck by that at the beginning, that there's this... And it's not like you're just arguing, well, just use your common sense, but there is a way in which the language, when it evolves, it gets less clear, not more clear.
And it also takes away personal responsibility.
Okay.
It's what it does. If I got something interiorly wrong with me, rather than I can exert a great degree of self-control, then I'm not as responsible. I mean, I got this bit of this temper affliction here.
By the way, the number is 888-318-7884. We love your calls here. And if you have a question for Dr. Ray Guarendi, you are very welcome here. 888-318-7884. Maybe this is something that you face yourself, dealing with anger and frustration issues. Maybe it's someone in your life you'd like to talk about. Maybe you just like Dr. Ray Guarendi and you want to call and talk to him. 888-318-7884. The book is just out. It's called Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. So how do we do it? How do we master anger and frustration?
Well, first of all, Cy, I wish you wouldn't have said it that way. You said, if you like Ray Guarendi. Now, if we get no calls, what's that going to say? You had to enter the personal element, didn't you?
Sorry about that. I apologize. That's right. It's a very small group, but there might be people in the I like Ray Guarendi group.
If you want to talk to Cy Kellett, call in.
Yeah.
Part of the problem here is that we view anger as an emotion. You ask most people, they're going to tell you, it's kind of something that takes over, it flares you up. But anger is as much a thought as it is emotion. When you get angry, when you get frustrated, you really have to ask yourself, what am I thinking? How am I interpreting this? What am I saying? Okay, let's say, Cy, that you say to Darren and Chris, some of the folks there at Catholic Answers, that's the last time we're getting Guarendi on. Guarendi's a jerk. He's not very good. And I'm going to call EWTN and see what I can do to get him off the air. Now, I have to interpret that. I can't automatically say, Sai's a jerk. Mm-hmm. I have to say, okay, what's going on here? How am I going to interpret this? Am I going to interpret this as that Sai's opinion? Am I going to interpret this as if EWTN says to me, get off the air, is it the end of the world? I have to analyze in my head the cause of my frustration, the cause of my anger. And if I don't do that, then I'm just a victim. I just, no matter what happens to me, if good things happen, I act happy. If bad things happen, I act mad. And that's the way I live my life.
That is very powerful, I think, if you're willing to accept it. Like that I'm not just having an emotion. I'm having a thought that's bringing this emotion. That I have to say, most of my life, I was mad at other drivers on the road because I knew their motives. That guy's doing that because he's a member. Do you know what I'm saying? And when I realized I don't actually know their motives, then I felt like a lot less angry with them. I don't know why they're driving like that.
And if you want to add more to it, you could say, who am I to expect them to drive exactly as I think they should drive?
Yeah, right.
Who am I to say that if they don't do it, they're idiots? Who am I to say I don't do that? You see, what happens is all those thoughts can dampen your emotion, can make you lean on the horn for 4 seconds less and to keep your fingers inside the car.
Yeah. yeah, I wasn't using all of them.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, again, the number is 888-318-7884. Just two lines open. So we're going to go to the phone lines in a minute. All right. So why this, though? You do have this broad experience from your radio and television and your own practice as a therapist. Why are you writing about anger and frustration now? What's brought that on?
If I am sad, Sai,
yeah,
I'm not about to insult you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not about to mistreat you. If I'm feeling anxious, I'm not going to call you a name. The stuff that I most do that is unchristian is when I'm angry. It's when I'm frustrated. That is likely to provoke in me my worst behavior. So anger and frustration really is the emotion that makes us act most unchristian-like. I would have to say that 90% of the awful things that I have said, the frustrating things that I have been said during a moment of emotion. They have.
Right.
If I could get past that 30-second surge of emotion, I'd say about half of what I shouldn't say.
Right.
So it is the upset. It's the frustration that breeds the conduct. And it is the conduct that our Lord says, don't act like that. Why are you acting like that?
Yes, isn't that something? It's fascinating because I think, I hate to say this about us Catholics, but we have this internal thing that says, if I could get maybe it's just men. I don't know if women have this, but the thing that's keeping me from being the Christian that Christ wants me to be is getting the sexual stuff in order, lusting or this. But the fact is that generally speaking, the times when I'm just nasty in a way that Jesus would not want me to be at all, it's because I'm mad at somebody. It's because I've got the energy of anger behind it.
Most of your relationships, especially the close ones, spouse, parent, sibling, adult child, those relationships have the most opportunity for friction.
Yeah.
They do. You know, the mail carrier, I go down to the mailbox. I say, hey, how was your day today? She says, fine. I say, well, that's good. She says, hey, have a nice day. Okay. And it was such a pleasant interaction. And she says, Ray Guarendi is such a nice guy. Yeah. He's so pleasant. And my wife is standing back there going, you don't live with him. You do not live with him.
Yes.
So right. Most, I would say that about 90% of our mistreatment of another person is to someone we are supposed to love the most.
Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. There are tons of folks on the line ready to ask questions. So let's take this opportunity to take our first break and we'll come back and get right to the phones. Your questions for Dr. Ray Guarendi on his brand new book, Living Calm.
There's only one Catholic Answers Live. Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit MysticMonkCoffee.com. That's MysticMonkCoffee.com.
This is Steve Liegers, president of Tri-State Catholic Radio, and I am a sinner. A sinner who needs God's grace and mercy, especially when I'm weak or disappointed in myself or have hurt others. Catholic Radio and its wonderful variety of programming reminds me that God loves me and uses radio as a medium to broadcast his love and encouragement into our world. Find a Catholic station in your area and tune in.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. Dr. Ray Guarendi has a brand new book out, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. It's available right now wherever you get your books. You can get this one. And it's about helping us to overcome that state that makes us most likely to be unchristian to other people. And I do want to go to the calls, Dr. Ray, but you were talking before about how it's our perception of the situation is often the problem. Will you give me just a little, if you can give me some insight, some example of the power of perception in all of this?
People routinely believe that if an incident happens, if someone acts a certain way or says something toward me, I automatically react. And I reacted because of what they did. It was A, their conduct equals C, my action. Picture yourself, Cy, at a three-sided bus stop. It is cold. Now, I know it never gets cold where you live, but where I live in the Midwest, it can get to be 40 degrees in July. So it is cold and there is sleeting rain coming into this bus stop shelter. We're all crowded together. The bodies are crunched. I feel a jabbing in my heel. There's something poking my heel and it won't stop and it hurts and it feels like the point of an umbrella. Now, if you were to ask me at that moment, Ray, why are you getting angry? I would say, because someone is poking me in the heel with an umbrella, and I don't know what kind of thoughtless individual that is, but we're stuck here in this crowded bus stop, and you'd think they have a little more sense than that. Okay, I can't take it anymore. I turn around to give them what for, and it is an elderly blind woman with a cane trying to keep her balance in the crush of bodies. What happened to my anger, Cy?
Gone.
Instant.
Yeah.
I didn't have to say, you know, lady, you're lucky you can't see. You're lucky yeah. I'm a nice guy. No, it was immediately gone.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. 1 minute before, you said to me, Ray, why are you so upset? And I say, because somebody's poking me. Well, no. The lady was still poking me. My perception of the situation changed. The anger changed immediately. And that's how powerful perceptions are.
Yes. So, but can I change my perceptions, though? Is that what you're saying, that I can change my perceptions?
You have to make them square with reality.
Oh,
for
okay.
example, my mother-in-law, let's say that she is snarky, snooty, snotty, snippy. You ever notice how God used SN words to describe snottiness? So she's been this way ever since I've known her. All right. Now, this is not my real mother-in-law, by the way. How long have I known her? 34 years. Has she always been this way? Yes. She going to change? Probably not. So why are you still getting yourself upset? Because she shouldn't talk that way. But she does talk that way. I know, but she shouldn't. She doesn't have a right to talk that way. I'm a nice person. She shouldn't treat me like that. Ray, it's been 34 years. When are you going to change your perception and say that's who she is? Don't be surprised.
Right. Gotcha. All right. There's so many people on the phone. I want to go to the phones for you. All right. Take some calls.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Rachel in Ohio. where it's cold in them bus stops.
Yes, it is.
St. Gabriel Catholic Radio. Glad to have you, Rachel. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Hi. So I have a friend who I would like to unfriend due to various circumstances surrounding his spiraling addictions, which he keeps going in and out of. And it's beginning to negatively impact my life, such as has stolen some of my medications and my family's medications, and is lashing out at me and his family, and seems to be, struggling with that. And I'm wondering if it's unchristian of me to not want to be his friend and help him anymore. And also, how should I go about that process of unfriending him?
Rachel, you have no moral obligation to stay friends with someone who is dangerous, who is very relentlessly hurtful and unrepentant. You're allowed to pick your friends. It doesn't mean you hate the guy. It doesn't mean you wish he'd roast in hell. It just simply means this relationship is not a good one. He's not your dad, so you don't have to work harder at it. He's not your brother. He's not your child. So therefore, he's someone that's in your life that you've decided this is really a bad contact here. You have no Christian obligation to say, well, I've got to accept and connect with every single person who wants to connect with me, no matter how much they are devastating to my well-being. Now, how do you tell him? Well, the easiest way is passive. You just let the relationship fade away. You don't contact him. When he contacts you, you take a longer time to respond. Or if you want to be active about it, and you will not be understood, by the way, you just tell him, you know what? I think this friendship isn't gone anywhere. It's not good for either one of us. I wish you the very best in your life. God be with you. At that point, Rachel, he's not about to say, oh, Rachel, thank you for pointing that out to me. I really need to take a good, soft look at myself. That's why I consider you such a good friend. Will you help me be a better person, Rachel? He's not going to say that. He's going to get mad. He's going to act like, who do you think you are, Miss High and Holy? That's what's going to happen. So you might want to just let it fade away as best you can.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Thanks very much. Again, Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. You're welcome to call 888-318-7884. You had some concern, Dr. Guarendi, that no calls would come because I said if you like Dr. Ray, you can call. But all the lines are full, so apparently you are
are just a bunch of angry, frustrated people.
Well, that's good. Then you're just the right guy to talk with. Let's go to Caleb in Illinois, listening on 92.5 FM. Caleb, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Caleb.
My question is, as Christians, is there a time and a place for us to experience righteous anger? And if so, how do we go about discerning how to do that well? Because it seems to me as if anger is something that can lead extraordinarily easy to a whole rash of sins.
Anger can be good. There's a chapter in the book called Righteous versus Right-Filled Anger. To put the definition simply, righteous anger is anger at someone else being mistreated, hurt, or dealt with unjustly. Right-filled anger is anger because you're not treating me the way I want to be treated. You're not giving me my due. You're not respecting me. You're not giving me the accolades, the applause that I want. That's right-filled anger. So righteous anger is protection of another. Now, you don't want to go overboard in protecting another. You don't want to punch the person in the head that's doing it unless you have to. But short of that, You can act assertively, bravely, strongly without getting carried away. Now, with us guys, that ain't easy to do. And you may find yourself a week later going, bless me, Father, let me tell you what I did.
Okay, Caleb.
Thank you. Excellent.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Caleb.
Let's go to Belissa in Texas, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Is that right, Belissa?
Yes.
Okay, Belissa, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
My question is, how can we... my father is 73 years old. He's a stubborn old man. He says things he shouldn't be saying, and he takes it overboard, and we don't know what to do, but we can't put him in a nursing home because it's not something that we want to do. But him being stubborn and just talking nonsense is sometimes we talk back to him, and it's hard, and it's just not me. It's my other siblings too. He's a hard man to talk to. He wakes up angry out of no reason, and it's overwhelming at times.
Belissa, is your father on the front end of dementia?
Diagnostically, no. They haven't said anything.
So he's functioning fairly clearly. He's just an irritable guy.
Yeah.
Why, after all these years, do you still get upset over the things he says?
Well, he hasn't. He's never really been like that.
If there's a dramatic personality change here, and I can't make a diagnosis from this distance, but sometimes when there are early personality changes that are unlike the way the person has been all their lives, and they're elderly, it can be the beginning of an organic process. Now, you don't know that. So I would say proceed as if, for whatever the reason, your dad is not quite your old dad. And therefore, rather than trying to change the way he is, because you said about 7 times he's stubborn, which means he's not going to listen. So the only thing left to you is to not get upset at the way he says things, the way he acts, the way he accuses you. You can't get upset about it because you know it's coming. Otherwise, what'll happen, and you alluded to this, you'll get frustrated with him and you'll say nasty things back, and then you'll feel terrible because you did that. And if 3 years from now it becomes clear that there was an organic process going on, you're going to feel even more guilty. Some things to keep in mind. Thanks, Belissa.
Belissa, thank you very much. The number is 888-318-7884, and a few lines have opened up. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. Dr. Ray has a brand new book out about this very topic, about anger. And if you have that issue in your family, maybe it's something you deal with yourself, maybe you'd like help dealing with someone else, you're very welcome to call. We're going to go to Pennsylvania now. Patricia in Pennsylvania, watching on YouTube. You're next up. Patricia, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Okay.
Hi, Patricia. I hear you and I see you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm trying to identify the cause of so much strife and division within families. And I'm studying the Bible in a Year with Father Mike Schmitz. Thank you very much. And we just came across Jesus being angry when he was being asked by the Pharisees about curing on the Sabbath, at any rate. So I know anger's okay and justified. I don't feel anger towards my family. I feel anger towards a force. That's the way I would describe it. I want to identify the force, and if the Lord wants, you know, me to go forward with continuing to reach out. I said to my son-in-law, who's visited me a few times now, we've been estranged, the little family, my daughter, her 2 kids, and my son-in-law, for a year now. And the Lord has worked wonderful things in me to understand that he comes first, the Lord does, and and not my kids. So I reached out and I asked, could we go possibly for counseling with my pastor? And the answer was no from my son-in-law, and he suggested that maybe I get some therapy. Well, he doesn't know I've been in therapy.
Patricia, I'm going to interrupt you here. Patricia, I'm going to interrupt you because we got a lot of details here.
You're both going to get interrupted.
And we're hearing the music. That means we got to go.
Yeah. So can you hang on a minute, Patricia, and then we'll get it. Really will be just about a minute, and then we'll get Dr. Ray's answer for you.
Sure, bye.
Okay, yep. Sorry to you both, but we got to do this break because there's no choice on this one. We'll take this quick break. Be right back with more Dr. Ray Guarendi on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Salvatore Cordiglione of San Francisco. Thank you for listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com.
Most of us Catholic parents agree our number one goal in life is to pass on the faith to our children. But here's the bad news. Today's world has a million ways to steal your kid's soul. Don't be afraid, says Father Sebastian Walsh. God loves your children even more than you do, and he desires their salvation more than anything. In his groundbreaking new book, Always a Catholic, Father Walsh shows you how to cooperate with God to bring about the fulfillment of his will for your kids. Always a Catholic reminds us that keeping our kids in the faith is about the way we live our Catholicism in our own lives and as a family from day to day. Order your copy of Always a Catholic by visiting shop.catholic.com today or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Tomorrow on More to Life, Unworried.
Is stress getting the best of you? Let us help you calm down and reclaim your peace.
That's tomorrow on More to Life. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Contractually, we have to have Dr. Ray on every time he has a book out. So I know that that's frustrating to a lot of listeners. But I'm sorry, Dr. Ray.
I'm getting so big, my people got people.
Yeah, that is actually not true. But we are delighted that he has a new a book out. And you're welcome to call if you have questions. The book is called Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. I am very attracted to the idea of living calm. I think many people think, no, that's not actually possible. But Dr. Ray begs to differ. You can live calm and you can master anger and frustration. On the line right now, we have Patricia in Pennsylvania, who's angry that there's so much difficulty in the family relationships. Dr. Ray, you were just about to respond when we had to go to a break.
Two levels of Patricia's question. The first is, how do you deal with the agitation, the friction between family members that seems to be becoming more pronounced? You can't change any other person. You can only change yourself. You can only alter the way you act and react. That's all you can do, especially if you have the reputation as being the holy one, the Christian one. The last thing you want to do is to be obnoxious like some of the other people. Second question, your brother-in-law says you need therapy. What did you expect when you told him, let's go to counseling? The implication was, hey, you know, there's something wrong with you too. And he didn't like that. What I would say is that as a Christian, we are called to operate out of a different set of rules. So therefore, we have to be the easiest to get along with, the most pleasant, the most appealing. And that means a lot less swallowing, I would say, of things people say and do, especially if they're relatives. You're not a doormat for doing that. Actually, you're quite strong if you can do that. Thanks, Patricia.
Thank you very much, Patricia. Again, the number is 888-318-7884. There's three lines open now, so you're welcome to get in if you have questions about living.
Oh, you have to go saying that. You have to go saying that, don't you?
Well, no, we have a lot of lines.
Well, we have a whole bunch of lines open.
No, three is not a lot.
A call is pouring in.
That's not what I was saying. I mean, it's not like we have four lines. We have a lot of lines, and three of them are open. I'm just trying to encourage people that they can talk to Dr. Ray, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration. Why is it me, or Living Calm, to that title is like, I want to read that book, because it just seems like there's no calm anywhere in the world nowadays. It just doesn't. Where is it?
In therapy, you help someone look at the way they think, how they're interpreting people, how they're interpreting actions, how they're interpreting themselves, and you try to get them reasonable and close to reality. You don't need therapy to do that, Cy. You can be your own therapist. I think every person, when they get upset and angry, should not look at the cause. You don't say, well, it was because she said that. No, that was not why you got angry. You got angry because you were thinking she had no right to say that. I don't deserve that. She doesn't appreciate me. She doesn't respect me. Why would she say that? I don't do that to her. So all those thoughts are percolating in your head that are making you angry. That can do an awful lot to make it worse or better.
But what about this, though? I mean, is there, like you said, you know, like if you had let 30 seconds pass, then many of the mean things that you have said, when you have said mean things in your life, you would never have said. Like this, getting to calm, it's okay. Like if you feel flooded with anger, just take a minute, take a pause. Like you don't have to solve all this right now, right? Like I don't think I could think through this all the way you're describing unless I allowed myself a minute to just try to let this pass.
There's a simple rule of life. You never have to apologize for what you didn't say. If you can just shut your mouth when you feel the strongest urge to say something, what will happen is in a relatively short period of time, that urge will subside enough. It won't go away completely, but enough so that you can control what comes out of your mouth. I can't tell you how many times I bit down on my teeth and my tongue because I knew if I opened my mouth later on, I'm going to go, why did I say that?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. Right. I shouldn't have said that. That's wrong.
Let's go back to the phones because literally, now I have to feel like I have to build Dr. Ray up because he's offended. There's literally thousands of people clamoring to get on
wow.
and talk with him. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a clamor. That's what we're facing, a clamor.
Clamor.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you don't want to get yourself in a clamor situation. Those can be very dangerous and upsetting. Anonymous in Long Island, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray. Nope. You don't want it? Anonymous?
That was very anonymous.
That's about as anonymous. I'm anonymous. I love you, and I'm going to come back to you, but I can't hear a thing at the moment. So we'll see if we can make that connection in a minute. Let's go to Lem in Kansas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Lem, thanks for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray.
Thank you. I am a pretty calm person, but my husband lost his faith and is an atheist, and he will say Jesus Christ in like a cursing way. I mean, he swears like a sailor, but I don't like that. But I really don't like him saying Jesus's name like that. So I kind of talked to him about it and said, you know, hey, can you not say that? Or like try to make a joke out of it. Like, hey, Jesus is a friend of mine. You know, can you not say his name like that? It hasn't really worked, which I do feel angry about. Like it's disrespectful to me as well. So Anyway, I'm wondering what to do. I was thinking, well, maybe I could just say a prayer of reparation out loud, but I didn't know if that would be really obnoxious.
And dear Lord, you know. please don't hold this against my husband's wretched soul. Yeah, probably not a good idea. Lynn, here's
not
what
like
I would suggest.
That, but just like, you know, I believe, I adore, no,
no,
I love.
No, this, Lynn, you know, this is one of those situations where you pray for somebody, they get mad. So first of all, he doesn't believe who you're praying to. So when you say a prayer like that, that's just going to make you seem even more different than he is. Couple of things to say here. You didn't count it, but I'll bet it's dozens of times that you have tried to tell him, please don't do that in front of me. Correct?
It's several.
It's a lot. Okay. Don't say it anymore. It's obvious that what you're saying, he's not accepting and he's not going to change. Okay, that's one. Two, God is a big boy. You're offended, but God hears it billions of times every day. Okay, God's a big boy. That's two. But the most important thing, and this is why you're getting so angry, you said it. He's not showing me respect. In other words, he's making this personal. Lynn, if you want to get angry, and I'm going to say this to everybody listening, if you want to get angry fast, all you have to do is personalize what somebody does. See, you're taking it personal. He knows I want him to stop. He knows how I feel. He knows I believe in my religion, but he doesn't care. He's going to do it anyway in your face, Lynn. That's what he's thinking. Don't tell yourself that. Just simply say, for whatever the reason, he gets some kind of satisfaction out of doing this, I'm not going to take it personal. The problem is his, and I will pray that he comes around. One other point here, Lynn. If you want your husband to have the best chance of looking at the faith objectively, then you have to be the best possible wife you can be. That's the only thing that'll win him over. You can't go to Mass every day and talk to your friends at church for an hour and a half, but yet sit and ignore him at night on the couch. You got to make him feel like he's number one, and the fact that Lynn, his wife, is a faithful Catholic is making his life better. That's probably your best approach by far to win him over. God bless you, Lynn.
Thank you very much. We got one more break to take, and we'll take it right now. Then we'll get back to the clamor of thousands waiting to talk with Dr. Ray Guarendi. Right back after this on Catholic Answers Live.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN offers the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass live every morning at 8 Eastern and provides you with daily readings to follow along and enrich your experience. To be sure you don't miss out on the daily Mass or to get access to previous recordings, we can send a link to your email inbox every day. It's easy. Visit EWTN.com and click subscribe. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. This is a pretty good way to start the week. I don't know how the rest of the week is going to go, but it's going to be hard to maintain this level. We start with Trent Horn first hour, and now we have Dr. Ray Guarendi second hour. I feel like we've kind of already hit our peak, Darren. Trent was my
lead-in act. He got the frisbees and the beach balls gone.
Yeah, he warmed up the crowd for you. That's
pretty much
right, and that's pretty good if you got Trent Horn warming up the crowd for you. You know, that's not so bad. But no, Darren says he thinks it's going to be a good week. even after this. Okay, Darren, I applaud your confidence.
Despite this.
That's not how I meant. Sometimes, it doesn't always come out right when you're on Dr. Ray. We're going to Idaho now. Emma in Hayden, Idaho, listening on the EWTN app. Emma, go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Garandi.
Hi, Cy.
Hi, Emma.
Hi. So, I mean, this preface.
Emma, wait. Emma, you didn't say hi to me. You didn't say hi to me.
Oh,
you just said hi to
Dr. Ray.
Forget it. I'm not in the mood now. I'm taking you personal.
Wait, let me be the therapist here for a second, Emma. You don't want to personalize this, Dr. Ray.
Okay.
That's when we're... I learned that from a therapist. Don't personalize.
I want to talk to Emma.
Go ahead, Emma.
I need to say I adore my husband, but he has an anger problem. And when he gets angry, he's very demeaning and he talks like a robot. And like he'll say, I need all humans in the vehicle at this juncture in time.
And I don't know how to... I've never heard it described as talking like a robot, but I'm familiar with that, yes.
He'll say V and Bell Arts, and it just... When it gets demeaning, it gets hard.
Emma, I must respond to your question in the right way so that I can give you a good answer.
Oh, please.
My guess would be that he's trying to control himself. He knows he's going to erupt, so what he does is he basically clenches his jaw and talks in this forced, robotic way to keep cool. Now, that'd be the best way to interpret it. The other way to interpret it is that, yes, he does get mad at small stuff. That is your husband. But if overall he's a pretty good guy, then this is something that you guys have talked about, I'm sure, forever. My suggestion would be, if you've kind of hammered this issue, basically let it go, because I think he'll probably feel attacked. And if he feels bad about doing that, he's only going to get madder when you point it out to him. So I just recognize it as this is one aspect of his personality that you hope he's working on. You hope he's doing something about. And if he's a good enough guy and his faith means something to him, maybe he is. But for whatever the reason, this guy erupts at small stuff. And for you to say, well, I wish he wouldn't do that, you're absolutely right. The problem is you may not be able to do anything about him doing that for right now. So that is my advice to you, Emma. And please listen up. Thank you.
Thanks, Dr. Wright.
Thanks, Emma.
Bye.
Appreciate that. All right. We have an anonymous caller in Long Island. Had a little trouble with the connection before. I'm going to see if our anonymous caller is there. Anonymous in Long Island, are you there with us?
Yes, I am.
Welcome. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Ray Garandi.
Thank you. I just wanted to know, I'm a little hurt and I'm a little angry. I'm trying to pray out of it to get calm again. But I just wanted to know, I think I did the right thing. I told my friend, who's not Catholic, and I told her I just became Catholic, and I'm very happy and joyful about it. And I was bubbling all over, and she looked at me and got so angry, and she said, I'm going to pray for you because you shouldn't go to that devil religion. And I said, that's not a devil religion. I said, that's beautiful religion. I said, that's not nice to say that. She says, well, that's what it is. And she just stared at me, and she said, I got to leave now, you know. And that's it. She left, and then I thought, did I do the wrong thing? What did I do wrong? I don't know how to react to this, but I thought
you know
I had
what
right
you did wrong? You know what you did wrong? You became Catholic, in her eyes anyway. The Lord said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. No servant is greater than his master. When they revile you and utter all kinds of slander against you for my name's sake, rejoice and be glad. Your reward is great in heaven. So, my dear, you did a beautiful thing. And your friend, for whatever the reason, is threatened by it. Your friend doesn't understand it. Your friend probably has all kinds of nutty, wrong notions about the Catholic Church. I would leave her time to cool off. I wouldn't contact her. I'd wait for her to come around. And if she does, I would say, so please tell me, why do you think the Catholic Church is so bad? I just want to understand. That's all you do. You don't debate with her. You don't argue with her. You just simply say, how did you come to this conclusion? And at the end of all that, if she says you're still a devil worshiper, then you ask her, do you still want to be friends or is this over? There's something I call a relationship breaking event. And for some people, no matter how long the friendship has lasted, for some people in their mind, if you commit the unforgivable sin, they'll break the relationship. I've seen it in families. I've seen it with deep friends of 32 years. You did something that they absolutely cannot accept, and they say, out with you. And that could be what's happening with your friend, but my dear, you didn't do anything wrong other than in her eyes, you became Catholic. The great wrong.
You know, just that I'm hurting, you know, and I was a little angry too. Thank you so much.
You got angry because she insulted you. That's why you got angry. She had no right to insult you in your mind. Okay, that's the first thing. You got hurt because she said things. But remember this, lawyers will tell you anybody can sue anybody for anything. Well, there's a parallel law in relationships. Anybody can say anything about anybody at any time. Your only worry is it true?
Anonymous, thank you very much. I'm so glad we got to the opportunity to speak with you. I'm sorry we had a little bit of trouble before, but I'm very glad we got to speak with you. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. And I'm going to try to get another call in here before I have to go. Ernest in Colorado.
Si, you know I'm charging you by the calls. You know that, don't you?
Well, sorry, Ernest. We're not going to be able to take your call today. No, just kidding, Ernest.
My bank told me not to take Catholic Answers checks and get cash from those people.
Yeah, oh, definitely. That's a very... your bank knows. Ernest in Colorado, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Go ahead, Ernest, with your question for Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Okay, thank you. And how are you today? And also, I've always heard that a lot of anger comes from a person getting his feelings hurt. Comment on that, if you would, please.
That's a variant, Ernest, of saying the other person had no right to say that to me. The other person was wrong in not respecting me and not giving me my due. You're absolutely correct. When feelings get hurt, remember this, Ernest, for anybody to hurt my feelings, I have to help them. I have to cooperate in hurting my feelings. Now, granted, I may not like what they said. I may react badly to it. But to prolong my feelings being hurt, I have to cooperate in that. They don't have the ability to hurt my feelings badly unless I let them. And that's in any relationship.
Okay, yeah, I kind of knew that. However, you know, sometimes it's a knee-jerk reaction.
Yes.
I don't know.
Yes, it is.
You know.
Well, it's knee-jerk until you sort it through.
Yeah.
Until you start to ask yourself, okay, wait a minute, why am I reacting like this? Why am I so hurt? Oh, I know I am so hurt. I can't believe this person said this to me. I didn't deserve that. Why did they accuse me of this? How do they see me this way? That's what you're thinking. It wasn't as knee-jerk as you think, Ernest, because those thoughts go through your head in a nanosecond. And later on, you got to sort them through.
Okay, Ernest.
It's called pushing my buttons, isn't it, in some cases?
Well, let's make your button harder to push.
Yeah, gotcha.
You don't want to be trip switch.
Okay.
You want to have a long fuse.
And is that a habit that you build, Dr. Ray? Because I know that there are people who would really like to have a longer fuse. They would like to not be, I don't know, a sensitive, I suppose, is what we say sometimes about people. I don't know if that's an insult or what, but do you know what I mean? How do I get that to have a longer fuse?
One of the biggest sources of anger in a relationship is that person is not acting as I want them to. It's that simple. You are not doing or saying what I would want you to say. That's it. Si, I get a lot of calls from people, and one of the questions they have is not tell me how to be different. Their question is, tell me how to make somebody else be different.
Yeah.
That's very hard to do. I have a hard enough time making you be different.
I know, but I feel you working on me, though, with that PhD you've got.
Well, by the way, I probably should be open about this. Christopher Check, your boss, asked me to do a one-hour evaluation.
Is that what
And his report, yes, that's what this is. His report will show this. It'll be on his desk tomorrow, so you might want to stop in, and hopefully you'll still be host. There's some things I've noticed that you perhaps probably haven't picked up.
Well, you're the professional. See, that's the thing, is you're the professional. Yeah. Well, I hope I passed the evaluation. Ernest, first of all, thank you very much for that call. Dr. Ray Guarendi is our guest. I believe, when you say, you know, people call and say, how do I change this other person? And it does seem like a basic insight that we have to have some point in our life that I can change me. I cannot change the other person. And when I change me, I actually can have more calm in my life. I believe it, but I still want you, like when we're not on the air, to tell me the secret of how to change my wife.
That, I don't know if that can be done. Here's the thing. If you want to change someone else,
yeah,
the best way to do it is to change yourself first. Very few people do not react, at least in some slight positive way, to a different, better you.
Ah, yes, right. That the old different, better you, that's the part that we are avoiding, I suppose, in changing other people.
Sure, it's easier for me to look at them,
yeah,
and say, boy, oh boy, why are they like that?
Right.
Than it is to look at me and say, why am I like this?
Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration is the new book from Dr. Ray Guarendi, and I looked it up on Amazon.com, where it is the number one new release. I just saw this. Number one new release in religious counseling.
Are you serious?
That's what it says. It says,
are you serious?
Number one new release in religious counseling. That's what it says on your book when I go to the page. Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. You can also get it at EWTNRC.com and my website also, drray.com.
And you should, because Living Calm is something we all need. So I'll do this. Give me the takeaway. I want to live calm. What am I going to have to do? What am I going to get from this book that's going to help me live calm?
You're going to learn how to analyze yourself and recognize the thinking that is underlying your agitation or upset or frustration.
And it can be done. I can do that.
Well, sure. Sure you can. Sure you can. Of course.
Yeah.
We as Christians have an obligation to do that. If someone does not follow Christ, their only motive to improve might be because of consequences in their lives. I don't want to be obnoxious because my boss is going to fire me. But as Christians, we are told that we have to look at ourselves and respond in ways that other people may not respond likewise to us.
Yeah, I have to say, Dr. Ray, and all kidding aside, one of the things I genuinely appreciate about your work is that your professional skills are put at the service of helping us to live our Christian vocation better. It's not in the service of jargon or this or that fad. But of saying, yeah, you can do this analysis, but you don't get out of carrying the cross, and here's how you can carry it better, and here's how you can be the Christian Christ called you to be.
Did I say all that?
I get, that's what I get. I don't know, maybe I made it up. Possibly.
Wow.
More indication of my delusions, I guess. I'm not sure. But please, go easy on the report, Chris Check, tonight. I need this job.
It might require some surgery.
We'll do it then. Dr. Ray Guarendi's been our guest. Get his new book, Living Calm, Mastering Anger and Frustration, and leave it on the nightstand of the person you're trying to change. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, right here on Catholic Answers Live.